the world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. From the beautiful studios of WHCB 91.5, coming to you live here from Blountville, Tennessee, getting ready for the big fall fundraiser starting tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a great 3 days together, and we know you're going to be with us. You've been praying. Some of you have already been giving, and we're looking forward to what God Almighty is going to do during these 3 days of the fall fundraiser, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Looking forward to that time, my friend. And so we're grateful to have an opportunity once again to be a part of the fall fundraiser. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to be up at Greendale Chapel. That's in Abingdon, Virginia, with Pastor Jerry Edgar. Going to have a great time up there. Had a wonderful Sunday with him. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Going to talk about being happy. Something I know a little bit about on both sides of that fence. So come join us tomorrow night. But again, tomorrow, it all happens. The fall fundraiser. Looking forward to a great time together. Yes, we are. Must be election year. All kinds of bad things happening. President Trump responded to a viral video in which protesters in Pittsburgh appeared to be disturbing an elderly white couple during a restaurant outdoors, blaming Democrats for allowing such behavior from their supporters to go on. In the video, several individuals can be seen shouting at the couple, some from close range. One woman can be seen walking over to their table, picking up a beverage and drinking it. Local authorities said they are investigating this incident. These anarchists, not protesters, are Biden voters, but he has no control and nothing to say, Trump tweeted on Tuesday. He added, and because of the weak and pathetic Democrat leadership, this thuggery is happening in other Democrat-run cities and states across America. Must shut them down fast. Trump also accused this November opponents here, his November opponents, former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris, of California, of being unwilling to speak frankly about these incidents. And there's something to that, isn't there? Oh, yeah, election year 2020. The nonsense goes on. Let's go out west. 22 people were arrested during a violent demonstration in Seattle yesterday. Police officials said people in the crowd committed arson, assault, obstruction, and failed to disperse. As officers arrested people, rioters hurled rocks, bottles, and explosives at them. Video footage showed a number of people dressed in the style favored by Antifa, the far-left anarchist group, communist group, that's what they're forming a line and facing off with police before officers rushed to that line and made arrest. Intact Molotov cocktails were recovered from the scene. When I see that picture, one guy getting ready to throw one fell at his feet, blew up, caught him on fire. Why are they allowing this? Why don't they just go in there and they should ask, where's our guns? Yep, yesterday, Seattle. They're crazy out there. You know, former football great, the NFL, the Herschel Walker, I think he's got an idea. He's calling on local leaders to put an end to rioting across this country. He posted a video on Twitter, and he argued that rioters should get federal time, federal prison time, for destroying these cities and citizens' businesses. Oh, I would agree with that. Lock them up. I've watched a lot of these beautiful cities just being destroyed by people rioting, and I saw all these local leaders that won't step to the plate and protect their citizens or their citizens' businesses, said Herschel Walker. So I'm going to step up to the plate and become a local leader in a sense that I want to put a mandate that everyone arrested during these riots, and they are not from this city, they're not a resident of that city or town, they should be arrested, and they should get federal time. What do you think about that? Former National Security Advisor John Bolton, you remember him, he disputed the main thesis of The Atlantic's recent report alleging that the president, President Trump, disparaged fallen American soldiers in France, calling the claim just simply false. In an appearance on The Story on Monday, now Bolton and Trump are not friends, and so this is unusual. According to what that article said, the president made disparaging remarks about soldiers and people buried in that cemetery in connection with the decision for him not to go to the ceremony that was planned that afternoon. And that was just simply false, said John Bolton. I don't know who told the author that, but that was just false. The president canceled the planned 2018 trip to the cemetery for the American war dead in France because the weather. and not because he had a disdain for slain soldiers there, Bolton said. That contradicted the report from The Atlantic, claiming that Trump described the cemetery there as being filled with losers. What a bunch of... Never mind. Well, here's kind of a twist that did not go down well. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was accused by critics last week of using her platform to damage a local hair salon owner in San Francisco, was called out yesterday over a tweet she posted celebrating the hardworking families across the United States on Labor Day. Over generations, working people across this country built the middle class and secured progress for hardworking families, Pelosi wrote. House Democrats are unified in our commitment to America's working families. Happy Labor Day. The tweet did not go down well with commenters who pointed to her recent visit to that hair salon. Yeah, that's another story. Is it true that the hair salon owner has received $300,000 in GoFundMe money? You could say just a little extra money to battle one of the crooks in Washington. That heat wave continued yesterday. Labor Day weekend fueled new fires across California, and it's pushed the state to set a new record for the number of acres burned as dramatic evacuations continue for one blaze called an unprecedented disaster. As of Monday, wildfires have scorched over 2 million acres of land in the Golden State. Crews were conducting active rescue operations to save people surrounded by the flames. It's a little unnerving because September and October are historically our worst months for fires, said one fire spokesperson. It's usually hot and the fuels really dry out, and we see more and more of our wind events going on here. The concern is this happened too early. So what's going on here? After nearly 20 years, the New Jersey Turnpike Authority has changed course and is taking down U.S. flags installed on the overpasses in the wake of 9/11. And local residents, they're outraged. The government agency explained its decision in a statement on Facebook. The New Jersey Turnpike Authority appreciates and applauds patriotism. We try to express patriotism ourselves every day by maintaining dozens of American flags at properties in our right-of-way, office building, toll plazas, service areas, maintenance facilities, state police buildings, and warehouses, and yeah? Those flags are treated with the utmost respect by turnpike authorities. They are flown on suitable staffs. They are illuminated at night. They are lowered at half-staff when the state is in mourning. They're removed, properly destroyed, and promptly replaced when they become faded or worn and no longer suitable symbols of our national ideals. The long-standing policy of the New Jersey Turnpike Authority has been to prohibit the display of any flags, signs, or banners by private parties on Turnpike Authority property. While we appreciate the desire of some residents to express their patriotism in these turbulent times by displaying flags on the turnpike and all these other places, regulations no longer allow it, and for good reason, and yada, yada, yada. The flags are coming down. People aren't happy. So let's take a break. When I come back, all the things that the pandemic is doing in the new America, right after this important message. Well, I did it last night. I caught up. I actually overslept this morning. How can you go to bed at 8:30 and get up at 9 o'clock the next morning? It happened. I'm not sure what's happening to this old body. Got to thinking about getting older. Part of that thing is aches and pains and sleeping more. And, well, those of you that are older know exactly what I'm talking about, huh? It's all a part of life. Are you glad to be alive today? I am. I'm excited. Every day I can't wait to see what God has for us. I pray that you're in that same position, my friend. If you know Jesus Christ the Savior, you're waiting for his soon return. You're praying for it, or should be. And if you're not saved, today would be a good day, for today is the day of salvation. Why not confess your faults, your sins to Almighty God, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? It's a great way to live and a great way to die. Yep, looked out at the beautiful sunshine and warm temperatures here in Blountville, Tennessee today, and said, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice, I am, and be glad in it. I pray you do the same. So who's leading now? India has passed Brazil for the second largest number of cases at 4.2 million. That's the plandemic. The United States has over 6 million. Those three countries together account for more than half of all the world's cases. Hey, you remember back in May when all of us were trying to figure out what is the new normal during the plandemic? Did you have a big time yesterday, Labor Day? Just not much happening anywhere, right? Here at the station, we were all gathering together, decided we'd go out for lunch. So many places not open. It was almost an hour wait at Cracker Barrel, and it was just, hey, you can stop speculating, because here we are now 6 months later, and the new normal has arrived. You are living this new normal. The mask, you wear them all the time, especially in indoor public places where they're often mandated. They can lead to, well, enormous economic gains by slowing the virus's spread. That, according to the feds. You believe that, right? Having restarted school across America, much of the U.S. is a patchwork of online and in-person formats, and the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. I think I shared with you a week or so ago the police coming to our house to get one of the grandkids because he hadn't been in school in 39 classes, and he actually had been because he's doing online computer work, and the right hand, well, you know. New York City is the only major school district in the country to opt for in-person learning in September. Classes begin in 2 weeks. In higher ed, hundreds of colleges that had planned on bringing students to the campus have now reversed that position and decided for a virtual semester. Temple University in Philadelphia just canceled in-person classes after students were on campus for all of 2 weeks. People are doing it. They're traveling, of course, but they're not doing it as much, and most of it's on the ground. Air travel is stuck at about 33% of the pre-pandemic levels, and airlines are slashing all kinds of fees to get you into those little seats. Closer to sea level, people are rediscovering nature. State parks in places like Wyoming welcomed a record number of visitors, while remote stays on Airbnb have almost doubled. A TV-only experience there for sports. Professional sports leagues have restarted successfully, the vast major playing without any fans. I already told you, for the most part, I will be watching nothing, especially the NFL. But in the college world, several major conferences like the Big Ten, they've postponed fall sports. How about entertainment? Slowly creeping back, they say. Tenet became the first major blockbuster to hit U.S. movie theaters since the pandemic began, bringing in about $20 million in North America. 70% of movie theaters in the United States are indeed open. And the big thing, work. We all want to work, right? It depends on your industry. If you work at a big tech firm like Google, chances are you're going to do things there at home until the summer of 2021, or maybe you're going to do it forever. But that's not the expectation of other industries like finance. Beginning yesterday, 50% of J.P. Morgan's investment bankers will be returning to their New York City and London offices. The warm weather has allowed many socially distant activities, such as outdoor dining, to continue, but here comes winter. And our new normal could look very different come Thanksgiving this fall. Yeah, it's the new normal in the new America. Here we go. And a crazy story out of Tennessee on testing for the pandemic here. From Tennessee, family of a 66-year-old woman who died in February received a notice that she tested positive for COVID-19. But all of that was a bunch of baloney, as most of this is. No, she didn't die of the coronavirus at all. Duh. Unless she somehow found a way to take a coronavirus test more than 4 months after she died and was cremated. Yeah, you believe all these stats, don't you? The great question of 2020 is, who do you believe and what do you believe? What else is happening in the new America? This makes me nervous. Companies like Starbucks, yes, and Microsoft and Salesforce and Uber have helped recruit 350,000 employees to serve as poll workers for this November's election. Why does that make me nervous? China's top bottled water company raised $87 billion yesterday in a record-breaking Hong Kong IPO. Well, I guess Samsung struck a deal with Verizon to supply that carrier with, oh, almost $7 billion worth of 5G networking equipment. Many Christians think there's something very dangerous about 5G if you look into it. And a gender reveal party. That's responsible. We started this way. Is responsible for one of the worst wildfires burning in California ever. 2 million acres, I think we said. Isn't that something? Somebody sent some pictures of the new fall fashions for men. Are you kidding me? Where is my grenade? Holitzer. What are these guys all? Oh, never mind. You would have to be out of your ever-loving mind to put on any of these clothes, fellas. We need some men in America. This one I'm looking at looks like something that my 2-year-old grandson cut out. Either that or the guy is an accordion. I don't have any idea what's going on here. Hey, I want to talk to you about loneliness. So Life 101, where's my Bible? Right after this important message. Well, I had an unusual circumstance up in Abingdon, Virginia. I didn't have any cell service when I got there Saturday, and that continued through Monday. And so as a result of that, a lot of you asking about services there at Greendale Chapel on Sunday, and I got all those messages too late. One gal asked, Heidi, said, where are you going to be next? Hey, well, tomorrow I'm blessed again to be at Greendale Chapel, 7 o'clock for the Wednesday service. If you can, come join us. And we're going to be in Elizabethton, Tennessee this Sunday with Nathan Jennings and my buddy Grady Holder. First Free Will Baptist Church, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service. I can't wait to get to Elizabethton and preach the Word of God. Why don't you come join me if you can this Sunday, Elizabethton, Tennessee. And don't forget tomorrow, it all starts right here at WHC in the very studio. I'm doing this show. I get to be here tomorrow. And we ask for some help, oh yeah, in keeping WHCB moving forward in 2020. Why don't you be a part of the fall fundraiser at 91.5 starting tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on the big station. Thank you very much. Well, I was watching some of my own material yesterday from Invisible War on the Saints from Refuge Media. I was reminded that Satan and his demons love to entice you, my friend, to feel unloved and unwanted and unfit, as if no one really cares about you. And his goal is to prevent you from being all that God wants you to be. You're something special. Do you know that? Hey, David was on the run, wasn't he? He left his family, left his friends in an effort to escape King Saul and what appeared to be a sure death there. Miles from home, handful of acquaintances caught up with him. Then others gathered as well. So though there were familiar faces in that group, most were people he did not know. Been there, done that? They had the reputation of being outcast, men who were discontent in many ways. You can read that in 1 Samuel 22. Their presence may have softened the emotional blows that come from being an exile and labeled a renegade in this old world, but it did little to stave off the feelings of loneliness that were gathering in David's heart. It can happen to anyone. Hiding out in a cave, he tried to make sense out of all that had happened over the prior months and weeks. When word reached King Saul of his location, the ruler gave red-hot pursuit, seeking to hunt him down and kill him. David knew his situation was not going to change quickly. Saul's quest continued for months. Well, it continued for years then, leading to an even greater potential for loneliness and anxiety to build up in the mind of a man. But as we read in the book of Psalms, we discover David did not succumb to the enemy. Satan and his demons did not win. Years before Saul even thought of taking up weapons against him, David had learned several life-changing truths concerning loneliness in the world. As a young man, he had taken care of his dad's sheep, and while he may occasionally have encountered other herdsmen, he was alone a great deal of the time. I doubt, however, that he would have said that he was lonely, because David was keenly aware of being in the presence of Almighty God, and I think that's a key here. And it changed the way that he would deal with adversity and feelings of loneliness later on in life. one of my favorites, Psalm 55. He wrote there in verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Loneliness is a painful emotion. Those who experience this feeling know how deeply it can attack your self-esteem. Therefore, you should never ignore any time our sense of isolation begins to intensify. There will be inescapable moments when you feel lonely, but likewise, there will be occasions when you enjoy being alone, on your own. Other times, we may be in a room full of people and yet experience an acute sense of being isolated. Loneliness is not contingent upon company we keep, our social standing, or our income. Some of the richest people in the world are lonely. Do you know that? Some of the poorest are among the happiest. David was the anointed king of Israel, but this did not prevent him from battling a profound sense of loneliness. He had learned how to deal ruthlessly with these feelings, and you and I need to do the same today. Loneliness is a gateway to other negative emotions, and if you don't deal with it, you'll end up also battling feelings of bitterness and anger and frustration. Each one of these are serious consequences and give ground to the enemy. Denial is not an option. Telling others, I'm not lonely, when you're falling apart on the inside does very little good. It's a lie, and this will only mask the problem. If left unattended, unaddressed, loneliness will sap your energy, divide your mind, and prevent you from enjoying the goodness of Almighty God and His blessings. It's one of Satan's primary weapons for discouraging you. He loves to entice you to feel unloved, unwanted, unfit, as if no one really cares about you. He knows that if he can undermine your godly support system, he's going to have a good shot at eroding your emotions with feelings of doubt and low self-esteem, and you don't need that. His goal is to prevent you from being what God has created you to be. My advice to believers struggling in this area is don't believe a single word spoken by the enemy. Rebuke him in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. You get away from me, Satan. I know what you're doing. Talk to him. Don't believe a single word. Let me say that again. Jesus made it very clear that Satan is a liar and there's no truth within him. John 8:44. How do you recognize his deceit? Ask God to give you a discerning heart. Make sure your life is free of all known sin. Forgiveness purifies your emotions. It positions you to hear God's voice and to understand his truth. Spoken to us over the clamor and the clutter of Satan's negative input. You also need to tap into these truths. The Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love, and he has promised never to leave you. Jeremiah 31:3, Hebrews 13:5. This means never alone. You're never alone. When you drive to the grocery store, he's there. When you're on the job, he's right beside you. He's aware of every problem you face, my friend, and he has the solution to every problem. He is the answer. No matter what the question, he knows the difficulties, the obstacles, the routes that you need to take in life. David set the focus of his heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on circumstances. You and I need to do it. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts, my friend. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. More in the next program. And finally, have you seen him at your local Walmart yet? A guy made a face mask out of his underwear. The headband was... I declare. Oh, never mind. You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. Thanks so much for being here each day at this time. Would you be my friend? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Don't forget, fall fundraiser, WHCB, starts tomorrow, I think. So in the Tri-Cities, you will not hear us there. And then for most of you, back there on Monday. The rest of you, hey, I'll catch you tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day.